Dear Lord, we come before you, acknowledging that we are sinners and we cannot save ourselves. The only way that we can be saved is through your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for what he has done for us on the cross. So this morning we come together as a church to confess to you our sins and iniquities, and beseech to Christ your mercy and your love on the cross, that your blood will cover each one of us to forgive our sins, so that we can reconcile with the Father. We give thanks to you, for we are certain of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we also lift up all the mothers among us, that we pray for them, that you will grant them perpetual mercy and strength, so that they will continue to love their family with the love coming from Christ. And they will continue to be encouraged by the grace and mercy available to them in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that during this time, as a lot of family, we are in the lockdown, that we give thanks to you if our families has precious time to be together to further our relationship and intimacy. But we also pray for those who are suffering, pray for those who are sick, and pray for those that their relationship might not be that ideal, that the lockdown create a lot of tensions and conflict. We pray for them, that your Holy Spirit will be with them, to bring them back to the love of Christ, so that they will confess their wrongdoing and sins to one another and also to you, and may receive renewal coming from you. In our Lord Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. This is the reading of God's word. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant women, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the reading of God's word.
I want to wish all my dear sisters a happy Mother's Day. Whether you are a mom with toddlers or teens, or an empty-nested mom, or a future mom-to-be, a classroom mom, or a Mr. Mom, may God bless you with his great joy and affection today. Moms, thank you for giving your best effort to provide love and care. You have been a solid rock in our lives, and we praise the Lord for you. But I realize this joy may not be true for all. Sometimes Mother's Day can bring more heartache than joy. If you are broken today because life has not turned out as you hoped, or you're tired, disappointed, and doubt that you can make it, you are not alone. May the love of Jesus heal and comfort you with a generous portion of his compassion. Moms, you are especially burdened during this pandemic crisis, doing all that you can to keep your children safe, happy in activities, well-fed, and engaged in learning, while managing your own workload online and meeting deadlines. It's hard to navigate. Mom, I'm starving. What's there to eat? Mom, I don't feel like doing school today. I want to stay in bed. Mom, I'm bored. I'm bored out of my mind. I want to go out. Mom, mom, mom. If you don't know by now, Mom, you are an essential worker. You are indispensable, irreplaceable, and you are incredible. So thank you so much. Thank you, and hang in there. This too shall pass. With the Lord's help, we will get through this together. And praise God, there will be better days ahead. Let me share a little story with you. A young woman went to her mother and told her about her life, about how things were so hard for her. She did not know how she was going to make it, and she wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed as soon as one problem was solved, another one arose. Her mother took her to the kitchen. She filled three pots with water. In the first pot, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. In the last, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. About 20 minutes later, she turned off the burner. She scooped out the carrots and placed them in a bowl. She scooped out the eggs and she placed them in a second bowl. She ladled out the coffee in a third bowl. Turning to her daughter, she said, "Tell me what you see." "Carrots, eggs, coffee," she replied. She felt the carrots and noted that they felt soft. Then she peeled the eggshell and observed that the egg was hard boiled. Finally, she sipped the coffee with a smile as she tasted its rich aroma. The daughter then asked, "So, mother, what's the point?" Her mother explained, each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water, but each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong and hard, but after being subjected to boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg was fragile with a liquid center protected by a thin outer shell, but after sitting through boiling water, the inside became hardened. The ground coffee was unique, however. After it was in the boiling water, the coffee beans had changed the water. The mother asked the daughter, "So which are you? When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? Will your life's hardships make you soft and lose strength like the carrot? Will your life's struggle take your tender heart and make you hardened like the egg? Will a broken relationship, loss, injustice, abuse, debts, harden your heart with bitterness, even if your shell should appear the same outside? Or will your darkest times cause you to become what you were meant to be, like the coffee bean? Will you change the very circumstances that bring pain? Water must be boiling to release the coffee's full flavor and fine aroma. Will you get better and change the situation around you instead of letting it change you?" Right now, our entire globe has fallen into some serious boiling water. Let's pray we get better to be a blessing to our broken world. The Lord is at work. The Lord is sovereign. We may not understand his divine purposes yet, but be still and know that I am God. We may not have the solutions yet, but we humbly turn to God. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. Everyone is forced to pause, to go home, and to be with family. Lord, you have our full attention. This is our window of opportunity to get right with the Lord before his return, to take a Sabbath rest, to be spiritually refreshed and fired up. and share Christ with anyone seeking for peace with God. We live for His glory. God does not exist for ours. In our scripture this morning, we read about a mother who lived under the worst times to have a baby, the worst of times, but the Lord is sovereign. She is unnamed in Exodus chapter 2, but we later discover in Exodus chapter 6, Numbers 26, that the mother was Jochebed, whose name means Yahweh is glory. Her life and the lives of her children would declare Yahweh is glory. When the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt, Jochebed was born as a Hebrew slave girl. She had always witnessed hardship and oppression, but her parents and her grandparents taught her to love God and trust in Him. She was taught who God was and what He had done for them. She heard stories through oral tradition, like every Hebrew child, how God saved Noah and his family in the ark from utter destruction, how God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that there is a promised land, that there are promised descendants who would be numerous, that there is a promised blessing and redemption of all nations through the line of Abraham. How Joseph was meant harm when his own brother sold him into slavery, but in God's sovereignty, God had intended it for good to position him in Egypt ahead in order to rescue his family from a devastating famine. At first, they enjoyed the good life from the plenty in Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 explains about 400 years later, their lives had drastically changed as Joseph was forgotten. The descendants were made into slaves in Egypt. They were mistreated, oppressed slaves under a wicked Pharaoh. Yet the Hebrew slaves were fruitful and multiplied. And now this Pharaoh attempted to safeguard his power by ordering infanticide. But thankfully, the midwives fear the Lord more and they let them live. Now, Jochebed was married to Amram and they had a daughter, Miriam, and a son, Aaron. Now, in her third pregnancy, she feared the unthinkable horror. If she had a boy, he would be taken away and be thrown into the Nile River to die. Although we are not always able to choose or understand a situation we live under, we declare nothing separates us from the love of God. We trust in Him. In the Lord's sovereignty, He provides, He heals, He comforts, He rescues, He is with us. We trust in His word. We taste of His goodness. We anticipate His victory. In times of crisis, we must be faithful to do what we can and then let God take care of the rest. Jochebed's baby was born. It's a beautiful boy. What parent doesn't think their baby is beautiful? Once she saw him, she decided to hide him for as long as she could. She trusted in the Lord to preserve her baby for God's glory. In Exodus 2:2, the original word tov literally says that she saw that He is good. He is good. The NIV describes the baby as He is fine. Hebrews 11:23, the NIV described the baby as no ordinary child, and the ESV as a beautiful child. Even an apocryphal source described Moses as remarkably handsome man, that when he walked down the street, people would stop and stare at him. So although the Jews commonly thought of Moses with physical beauty, the word tov echoes really what God saw each day in creation. It is good. The birth of Moses is good. For someday, in God's sovereignty, hearing the cries of his suffering people, Moses was born into the world to deliver them from slavery. On this day that he was born, it is good. Jochebed did what she could and trusted God for his miracle in four acts of faith. First act of faith. Jochebed did what she could to hide the baby for 3 months at great risk. If she is caught with the baby, it may cause a beating to her husband and threaten the safety of her other little children. You know, it's nearly impossible to hide a little baby. What does a baby do? He eats, sleeps, poops, and cries. Oh boy, do they cry. Once he cries, all the neighbors will hear. Soon after 3 months, he may even start teething and get fussy. Then she could no longer hide him. She did what she could to love him and pacify him and trusted God for the rest. Now the second act of faith, Jochebed did what she could to prepare a safe basket for his journey on the river. She weaved an enclosed papyrus basket and made it watertight with tar and pitch. The papyrus basket was literally called an ark, Tabat. Same word used with Noah's ark. Do you think she got her inspiration from Noah's ark? God told Noah to build a huge ark to save his family and all those animals from the great flood. Do you think God directed her thoughts to build a little ark as she pleaded with God to rescue her baby? No mother would leave her baby unattended in a bathtub, let alone place her baby in a little boat into a river. That is an act of great faith. In God's sovereignty, it's all aligned together. At the right time, she placed the baby in the little ark in the river. In God's sovereignty, the daughter of Pharaoh, the right person, came to bathe at the right time, at the right day. She noticed something floating. She sent her slave girl to fetch it. She opened the lid and identified a Hebrew baby. Just at the right time, Moses let out a big old cry. Did the Holy Spirit pinch him? Just at the right time, and then Pharaoh's daughter felt compassion for him? We don't know much about Pharaoh's daughter. She was likely bathing in the Nile, partly for personal cleansing, partly for ritual bathing. We can suppose perhaps she didn't have her own baby, and she may have thought that the god of the Nile was giving her a child. The historian Josephus records that Pharaoh's daughter handed the baby to all her female servants to nurse the baby. And when none of them could breastfeed, Sister Miriam conveniently emerged at the right time to suggest, "Shall I get a Hebrew woman to help nurse the baby?" To which Pharaoh's daughter answered affirmatively and handed the baby to Jochebed. "Take this child and nurse him, and I will pay you." What a miracle come true. Jochebed entrusted her baby to the Lord into the river, and he provided a way for him to be returned to her and also get paid to care for him. Now, the third act of faith. Jochebed did what she could to nurture him spiritually. While she nursed him, Moses grew to know his sister Miriam and brother Aaron, later to be his most trusted partners in the Exodus. He was taught to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was taught his real identity. In ancient Egypt, mothers taught their sons until around age 4. And then fathers took over the teaching, the boys, to learn respect for parents, morals, and develop work ethic. Then the elite Egyptian boys would enter formal education around age 7, including things like hieroglyphics, reading, arithmetic, writing, sports, religious instruction, etc. So Moses likely lived in his Jewish home for the first 4 to 7 years of life. Now the fourth act of faith. Jochebed released her son to fulfill God's purpose for his life, even if it meant handing him back to Pharaoh's daughter to raise him in the royal courts, to start his formal education. It was hard to release her son the first time into the river, and now to release him a second time to another woman. Moses was given such a name because he was drawn out of the water. He would someday, however, be used by God to draw out the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt. His mother has done all she could to entrust him into God's sovereign hands again. When we see God's sovereignty, we also see his providence, as he was accepted as a royal heir to the Egyptian throne. God provided the best of Egypt to Moses to enjoy. He was educated in the finest schools in the ancient world, and also entered into apprenticeships to learn practical skills and leadership. As parents, we are excited to help our children grow successful and powerful with the finest education and opportunities we can offer to them, starting from the right preschools to the best colleges. Under the royal household and training, Moses lacked nothing. In Acts 7:22, we are told, Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. We must understand this. When God calls a person, he is just not calling just one. God's blessing was never meant to be just about you. God's favor was meant to be passed on from generation to generation, to your family, to your children, and their children, to their children. God blessed Abraham's descendants so that all nations would be blessed through them. God saved the believers so that they may all reach out, that all may also believe in Jesus Christ. Moses was blessed so that he would be used to bless the people of Israel, and he rejected the pleasure for himself. In Hebrews 11:24-26, it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. As a mother, Jochebed did not have an easy life. In acts of faith, she did what she could and trusted in God's sovereignty for the rest. She did not know how everything would result. Her final act of faith was to release her son to accomplish his divine purpose, to deliver the Israelites from slavery. She did not withhold her son and keep him safely hidden for the rest of his life. She had to let him go so that God may complete what he began and what he had planned. When we cannot figure out what God is putting us through or why, we might get annoyed, lose patience, and complain. In reality, the grand plan of God may not be understood until it is finished. But we must not live in fear, because there is nowhere safer than to be in the center of his will. We trust in his goodness and in his sovereignty. In 1984, an interesting movie came out called Karate Kid. Now, I'm not talking about the remake in 2010 with Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith, but the original Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita. The high school student, Daniel Sun, approaches the old karate master, Mr. Miyagi, to teach him karate. Mr. Miyagi says to Daniel Sun, "We make a sacred pact. I promise teach karate to you. You promise learn. I say, you do, no questions." Daniel Sun was all excited and ready to flex his karate skills. He was told, "Not today, come back tomorrow." When he returned, Mr. Miyagi pointed to his classic car and said, "Wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. Breathe in through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe, very important." After waxing his five or six classic cars, the master Miyagi, Mr. Miyagi said, "Good, come back tomorrow." The next day, he pointed to the deck. "Sand the floor, sand the floor. Right hand, left hand, sand the floor." After spending hours to sand the entire wooden deck, he was exhausted and his muscles were in pain. Mr. Miyagi said, "Good, come back tomorrow." The next day, Daniel-san thought, "Surely we will learn karate lessons today." But Mr. Miyagi pointed to the garden fence and handed him a paintbrush. And he said, "Daniel-san, paint the fence up, down. Paint the fence." After Daniel-san finished one length of fence and said with a smile, "I'm done, Mr. Miyagi. Can you teach me karate now?" Mr. Miyagi pointed to the entire fence around the yard and said, "Paint all the fence, up, down, and then both sides." Many hours later, he finished painting, and then, of course, "Come back tomorrow." It didn't end there. Then the next day, Mr. Miyagi said, "Paint the house side to side, left, right." And so he did as he was told, no questions. But inside, Daniel-san grew angry and frustrated. He complained, "I don't mind helping you with house chores, but you promised to teach, and I promised to learn. For the last 4 days, I did not learn a thing. I'm going home." Then Mr. Miyagi calls out, "Daniel-san, come here." And the master puts it all together for him, showing him step by step how every fundamental movement defended the karate fighting moves. Wax on, wax off, paint the fence, paint the house, sand the floor. All along, the master was training and developing the skills he needed. he was learning karate, even if it made absolutely no sense at the time. The master knows exactly where we are weak or where we are vulnerable. He is equipping us. He is equipping our family. He is equipping our church at this difficult time in the world. He is building our utter reliance on him and not on our own ability and resources. We may feel a little stuck right now, trapped in our house, doing many tedious things. Jochebed did not seem to enjoy her training either. Breathe. Breathe. Our master knows everything fits together into his plans. So be faithful with the small things so that you can be faithful with the bigger things ahead. Do what you can and trust in the Lord's sovereignty for the rest. May God bless your families and our church.